this morning. What a joy to just get to think about what God has done for us, and it's a joy to be here again. I just want to share with you, it's been a blessing this week to just see God work in the lives of our church. It's been wonderful to see people that, and many of them unbeknownst to one another, but be a helpful hand to somebody else. Sometimes it's been a helpful hand to people in the church. Sometimes it's been a helpful hand outside the church. I've seen people this week pray for one another. I've seen people go do things for one another, lift them up, bear one another's burdens, fellowship together, take the gospel out to people who desperately need it. And folks have called and said, well, I need to do this or want to do this. Can you help me facilitate something? And others have taken, again, the gospel message out. It's just been a wonderful thing to see God work in the lives of people. And I want to, sometimes you want to stop and just pinch yourself and say, Lord, you are doing a great, great work. And I don't want anybody in this room to sit through, maybe you're a guest, maybe you're not a member, but maybe you've been here for years and you are. Regardless of where you find yourself, I want you to realize, if we don't already, what God is doing. And it's not because we're inside these walls. It's not because there's some magic dust that's been sprinkled over us. It's because the Lord is good and He wants to do something wonderful in your life and in mine. And I'm just so thankful for what He's doing. And I'm grateful for all that He has blessed us with and the work that He's just allowed us to be a part of. And in the midst of a lot of things that's going on, as you know, there's a lot happening right now. A lot of COVID cases in our area, and you know somebody who's battling with it right now. And chances are that is. And so I want you to be careful, of course. You know, we've tried to do things here at the church to be smart. One preacher said, use your head, a woodpecker does. So use your head, a woodpecker does. And so I tell people to be cautious, be careful, use common sense. Sometimes folks will they'll call in and say, well, we were around somebody who tested positive. And so we asked those folks to stay gone for a service or 2 days of service, maybe a Sunday and a Wednesday, just to be cautious to everybody else. And so that's what we're asking folks to do, just to be careful and be smart. And we don't do a whole lot of fellowshipping, which we hate, but it's just the times that we live in right now. And we're waiting for it all to get out of here. And regardless of whether it does or not, we'll just praise the Lord and see what He's doing anyways. And so again, I say be careful about those things, and we'll thank the Lord for the safety He provides. But then also pray one for another that the Lord would just continue to strengthen and protect and provide healing to those that desperately need it. So again, we're so thankful you're here. If you're joining us via live stream, thank you for doing that. If you're listening on the radio this morning, we're live at on 96.3. We're so thankful that you're listening that way, and we're excited to be in God's house. Well, I want to preach this morning, and I think I'll preach tonight from 1 Chronicles, but I'm going to preach this morning from 2 Chronicles, and a different message, of course, but 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. While you're finding your place there in 2 Chronicles 29, I did hear this story about this pastor that preaching at this little church that had a balcony like ours, and he noticed about 10 minutes into his sermon, he saw some little boy up in the balcony, and lo and behold, it was his own son. His own son was up in the balcony on the front rail, and he was looking down, and so he looked a little closer. That boy had a pea shooter up there. It's had a ink pen tube, and he was doing spitballs, and he was, sure enough, he would shoot them at people down there. And he was just about ready to land blast into his son and give him a correction that he wouldn't soon forget. About the time he did that, before he got to do that, rather, this boy hollered out. He said, hey, Dad, you keep preaching. I'll keep him awake. So, if need be, we'll get one of the young people up here on either corner and just shoot down here if they see you nodding. So, you know, you've heard about that fella that got up in the middle of the pew, and he got up and he just, excuse me, got on out, and the pastor from the pulpit said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. And he said, why didn't you get that before you came in here? He said, I didn't need it before I came in here. You preached too long. So, God bless you. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Once you look at verse number 1, we're going to look at Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in this first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs." We'll stop there. We're going to look at more of this passage as we get into it, but trust that right there will be enough for us. We are looking at a passage where Hezekiah is literally cleaning the junk out of the temple. His father, back in the end of the chapter before, his father Ahaz had closed up the doors. He had put places to worship to false gods in different regions of the city, and he had given them places where they could offer sacrifices again to false gods, and he was a mess of a leader. But I want to preach for a little while about Hezekiah, what he did here. Again, literally, the temple, that was the center of Jewish life. That was supposed to be the centerpiece of all that they did spiritually. But then not only did they do that spiritually, but then their life, and they were supposed to be wrapped around that because that was the place they heard from God. And here we find that Hezekiah's dad Ahaz, he had closed up those doors, he had let junk collect in there, and we find ourselves not able to hear from the Lord. I want to preach a message this morning, if you give me your attention for the next 15, 20 minutes, about this open for business. Because that's what Hezekiah said about the house of God. Once again, it's going to be open for business. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I thank you for these ones that have gathered here, dear Lord. We are friends together in this room. I pray, dear Lord, that you do a great work in our lives. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We were helping with the young people at one of the churches in West Virginia that we originally, our home church we came from. And one of the activities that we longed to be involved in was taking this old Methodist church that was out in the middle of a pasture field that had for decades been closed as far as for services. They would sometimes have gospel sings there, but even that had stopped years and years before. So us, me and the teenagers and some other men from the church, we took and we cleaned that out. And we made a path up to where that old little white church was, cleaned all the junk out. There had been beer bottles where partying had been gone on, and we cleaned that out and swept it out and wiped off the old pews, and we got it all ready, and we had a old teen camp meeting in there. And it was quite exciting. The Lord really blessed, and we just got permission, of course, from the landowner, and it was a wonderful thing just to clean out the trash that had been used, left there, rather, from other activities, other than godly activities, and then clean all that out and get the back in there to get a meeting for the Lord's glory and to preach and to sing about that. And here we find in Hezekiah's day, not that they were having beer bottles and things of that nature, but they had clutter. The Bible calls it debris. There was clutter in the temple, and things weren't happening like they were supposed to be happening. And I'm thinking about not only the churches. Now, certainly our church is clean. We're open for business. But I believe that there's many churches that are open for business as far as the world goes, or their Google account says that they're open at certain time. But I believe there's many churches that need to be open for business again. Not only that, I believe there's many lives in this room that we need to once again be open for the business that God has wanted us to be, has designed us for. I believe that there are marriages that are supposed to glorify God, and they are supposed to be a great testimony of Christ and the church, but they have closed for business, and they're not doing what they ought to be. There are homes where it's supposed to be a little bit of heaven on earth, but instead it resembles the other eternal destiny on earth instead of what it should. And they need to be once again open for business. And so I trust that the Lord would help us as we see this morning and open ourselves up to what God has for us. As I was preparing to preach this morning, I was just hit smack dab with the fact that many of us live shells of Christian lives. We aren't at all what our husband needs. We aren't at all what our family needs. We aren't at all what our neighborhood or our coworkers need. And sometimes as churches, we're not at all what a community needs. We are there. We are shells of a people. We're shells of a church. As the temple was there, it was just closed for business. As the temple was there, it just wasn't doing anybody any good. I'm asking myself and I'm asking you, are we doing a people any good? Am I open for business? Your marriage, your friendship, your business, your family are all supposed to reflect the glory of God to a lost and dying world. That's why this church is here on this street. That's why it moved from over where the funeral home used to be and out over here and before there up on Buffalo Ridge. And that's why it's been established here so it would point people to the Lord. But it's more than that. That's why God left us here after he saved us. When we got born again, if that's all that God had wanted to do with us, he would have just yanked us up to heaven then. Instead, he left us here so that we could point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned in the introductory remarks, your marriage is supposed to be an image of Christ and the church. You're supposed to point people to Jesus even through your marriage. And so as we look at that this morning, are you open for business? I want to draw my attention back to our text. I want you to see, first of all, what Hezekiah did in verse number 3. He opened the doors. He, in the first year of the reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And I'm going to liken that this morning to where you and I need to open up the doors and let the sun shine in to see the problems that we have in our lives so that God can fix them. Because just because you're an erect stature or structure, just because you're standing there, just because you're not falling down, doesn't mean that you are doing what God wants you to do. Just because I'm the pastor of the church doesn't mean I'm an effective pastor. Just because I have this position doesn't mean that I'm reaching people out in the community like I ought to be. Just because churches stand on the corner of the streets that they reside on doesn't mean that they're reaching out into the neighborhoods that they find themselves in. And just because this temple was there and the structure was still intact did not mean that God was being glorified in that temple. First of all, he opened the doors. I want you to look back, if you would, in the chapter previous, verse number 24, and find out how the doors got shut. The Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 28, Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city, every other city or so, in every other city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Can I tell you this? That what happened on that day is Hezekiah's dad had closed the doors on the temple and said, we're going to make convenience centers. We're going to put a place of worship over here. We're going to put a place of worship over here. We're going to give a place you can make sacrifices every other city or so that people can get here. The problem was they weren't worshiping the way God said, nor were they worshiping who God said, which was God himself. They were worshiping the false gods of the heathen out and about. And so I see that this morning, that literally Hezekiah said, fling the doors open, because we can't know there's a problem until we get to a place where we can look in there. And I see that not only did they clean out, open the doors, but then in verse number 5, we'll see that they cleaned out the junk. The Bible says, he said unto him, hear you, Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Not only did they open the doors, but then they decided to clean out the junk that was in there. My pastor, when he first became the pastor of our home church in West Virginia, He had to do something. He said, well, if we're going to be a church that reaches people, the thing that you're supposed to do after you reach people and after people get saved, the first step of obedience is you're supposed to be baptized. It's the Baptist church, but that Baptist church had the baptistry all filled in with decorations and stuff and Christmas, other decorations. And so if anybody did get saved, they had to take them somewhere else to get baptized. And so one of the first things he did was cleaned it all out, because if this church is going to be a church that sees people saved and then follow Christ in baptism, we got to have a place to baptize them. He had to clean out the junk. And I want to tell you this morning, I didn't come to deliver you a sad message, but a true message, and that is that some of us need to clean out the junk in our lives. There's a reason why we didn't have any victories when we went home to celebrate at Christmas with a family member, because we had too many problems our own selves, so we couldn't be a witness to somebody else like we should have been. There's a reason why people don't see anything different in the world between us and the world. That's because we have too much junk in our lives. You say, what kind of junk are you talking about? Oh, I'm talking about rotten attitudes and rotten ideals and rotten attitudes that we have back and forth, and fighting and conniving and undermining one another. It's amazing. The average, unfortunately, the average Christian marriage lasts no longer than the average unsaved marriage. Most of them, over 50% of them, end up in divorce. And one big reason is those Christian homes, those Christian marriages won't clean out the junk, won't remove the garbage, won't take out the worldly ideas, won't take out the selfishness, won't take out all of the things that they ought to. I'm saying this morning that he opened the doors and he cleaned out the junk, and we keep junk and debris around in our lives for years and years. Sometimes the average family resembles more of a minefield. Because you can't step over here, don't bring that subject up. You can't step over here, don't bring that history up. You can't step over there. Oh no, don't talk about so-and-so. We're still mad at him, and we're still upset with this person. And don't dare get on that subject, because that infuriates all of us. It's more of a minefield that you walk through this marriage or you walk through this family than it is a God-honoring family. I'm asking you this morning that as we enter into this new year, that you not only open the doors and let God shine the light in on your lives, but you also clean out the junk. If there's thought processes, if there's attitudes, if there's things that aren't supposed to be there, by God's help, get it out. Take out the debris. Take out the trash. If there's something that you know that's not godly in your thinking, some pornographic things that are on the internet, if there's something here, there's something there, then the scriptures are very clear. Hezekiah saw his way clear to move the junk. But I'm asking you this morning, if there's unforgiveness in your life, there's bitterness in your life, there's things that you're holding over the head of your dear spouse, that you this morning, by the grace of God, you say, God, please help me, get it out. The trash truck, as it comes every week, takes out the trash of your home. Have you ever amazed, like I am, how much trash a home generates? Well, we keep filling up that. We have that little dumpster from Johnson City. We keep filling it up every week. I heard about this story that this trash truck was coming down, and this lady, she had curlers all in her hair. She had her nightgown ground all wrapped around her. He had two trash bags and ran out to the trash truck, tried to catch him, said, wait, am I too late? And he said, no, jump in. not recommended, but that's just the way it happened. We've got so much trash. We've got so much stuff, we could probably get rid of half of it. We'd never miss it. I'm not so worried about the stuff that you have in your home. But I am worried about the trash that we have in our lives. And when I say trash, I don't mean that you're secretly involved in some wicked sin out there that nobody better know about. If you are, get it right too. But I'm talking about our prejudices and our wrong attitudes and our lackadaisical attitudes, our nonchalant attitude about what God wants us to do. Can I remind you, God let you live through 2021 for a reason. So he could use you in 2022. And if your marriage resembles a battlefield more than a honeymoon, there are some things that you ought to clear out of there. If your family has more fighting than they do fun, something's wrong. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be all wonderful and all roses and peachy keen in the family. I know bad things have to be addressed. But if the whole attitude of your home is stiff and unkind and fighting and screaming, then, my friend, you need to get some trash out of there. You're going to have to do like Hezekiah did, open up the doors and say, God, what do we even have in here to work with? And then after you get those doors open, then clean out some of that junk. Let's see what else he did. Not only did he do those two things, but look in verse number 6 and 7. This is where some of us are. He quit making excuses. Verse number 6 says, "For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him." Verse number 7, "And they've also shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel." So here's where Hezekiah is getting real. As what's happening is, he's gathering all the priests, all the Levites, and he's giving them a speech. He said, "Listen, boys, it's us and our dads," literally his dad. But he said, "Your dads were the ones that were enacting what my dad instructed. Our fathers snuffed out these lamps. Our fathers quit offering sacrifices on these altars. Our fathers shut these doors for the last time." And what he was doing was drawing the problem in close and saying, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord," standing in the need of prayer. It wasn't some enemy that came in. He said, "Boys, it was us. It was our dads. It was us. It was my fathers. It was our grandfathers. It was us. We're the reason we're in such a mess." He quit making excuses. He opened up the doors. He cleared out the junk and he quit making excuses. And if this year is any better for you than last year was, what's going to happen in our lives? We're going to quit blaming other people. And we're going to say, "It's me, it's me. It's me, O Lord," standing in the need of prayer. You want to know why I have such a bad attitude? If I do have one, I choose to stay in that attitude. You want to know why I'm disobedient to the Lord and I don't share my faith? Because I choose to stay disobedient and not share my faith. You want to know why my marriage stays in turmoil? You see, I got you on that one, preacher. She's sitting right beside of me. She's the reason. No. Because we choose to stay that way. Oh, we've got plenty of excuses. That's the way we were raised. I never got a fair shake in life. I don't have as good a job as somebody else. I'm Irish. I don't know what that has to do with it, but you know, I got a bad temper, whatever. We got plenty of excuses. But eventually, Hezekiah, as we take this object lesson from his life, he got to a place where he quit making excuses. He said, "Boys, we've got somebody to blame, but you're not going to like who it is. It's your dad and my dad," which in essence, it's our family, it's us. And so not only did he open up the doors and clean out the junk, he quit making excuses. Oh, we've been making excuses for a long time. God came looking for Adam and he says, "Adam, why are you running?" He said, "Well, Lord, it's not me. It's this woman you gave me." And then Eve followed suit. "Well, Lord, ain't me, it's that snake. You know I'd have been fine if it hadn't been for him." We've been making excuses since the beginning. But if we're going to have a happy home, if we're going to have a church that reaches this community and beyond this community, we're going to have to quit making excuses about I'm going to have to quit making excuses about, "Well, hard to reach people these days. People don't want to hear the gospel." That may be true, but this is the time that God allowed me to live. If we're going to see our ministry grow and flourish and reach people, we're going to have to quit bemoaning the fact we live when we live. "Well, boy, if you only lived then, if you only did this," well, you didn't. You're raising kids, and it's always a joy when people announce to me that they're having little ones. And I always wait for the naysayer back over in the corner and say, well, I'd hate to be raising kids in this day and age. I'd hate for them to be raising them too with that attitude. You can say all day long that, boy, it'd be easier if, maybe, but God didn't give them to you back in the 50s. God gave them to you now. And so it's time for us to quit making excuses. It's time for us as a church to say we are positioned where God wanted us positioned, and we're going to reach people for the glory of God where we are. It's time for us to quit saying, yeah, it's hard for marriages to make it this day. There are so many temptations out there. There are so many illicit opportunities out there. Yes, it's this, it's that. It's time for us to quit making excuses and for us to say, this is the time that God let us live. And so since God let us live at this current time, that must mean that He's going to empower me to live through this current time. I see that He opened up the doors, literally, of the temple. He cleaned out the junk. If it were today, He would have moved the old roll-off trash dumpster out back and said they just started pitching all kinds of stuff in there so they could move around, and they quit making excuses. And then after all of that, I don't have time to get into every bit of it, but in verse number 18, let's look there for just a minute. Then they went into Hezekiah and said, we've cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altars, the burnt offering with all the vessels and the showbread table and all the vessels. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz, your dad, in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified. They said a lot of that stuff he threw out, we couldn't even find it. We went and got some new ones. We've sanctified them. That means we set them apart, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. So what happened in this instance? They said, we're back ready to open up for business. We are ready once again to start being what a church in that day, a temple. We're ready to be once again what a temple should be. We're ready once again to offer sacrifices. We're ready once again to have incense burned. We're ready once again to receive the people. We're ready once again to see the glory of the Lord fill this place. We are ready. We're going to work, is what they said. Every year when I served at Franklin Road, the maintenance staff would be assisted by the pastoral staff, and we would paint and we would clean and we would scrape and clean everything throughout the summer that got messed up in the school year. And we would freshen up and get everything ready and put carpet down to where it was needed and all that all throughout the summer so that we'd be ready when August came, because that was when school started. But you know, if you'd have cleaned and prepped and scraped and painted and re-carpeted and re-tiled and got everything clean and neat, and then come August, no kids came, it still wouldn't have been school. It doesn't get down to the business until you get back in to the business that you're there for. Hezekiah could have cleaned out, could have opened the doors, could have assessed the problem, got everything right, but not done anything after that, and he would have been wasting his time. But what happened was, in verse number 20, Hezekiah the king rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats and a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Verse 22, so they killed this and they did all this and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth as the he-goats for the sin offering, and on it goes. They got to business. Once again, Judah was in the temple business. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. God designed that temple to bring glory to Himself, and it was once again. But not only did God design that temple to bring glory to Himself, if we fast forward to today's age, God designed you and me to bring glory to Himself. God didn't leave us here, as I already mentioned, just to take up space on His beautiful earth. God designed your marriage, your home, your friendship, this church. He designed it all to point people to Him. Can I tell you this morning that as we learn this lesson from Hezekiah, that I'm trusting, I've been praying that the Lord would settle a message in on your heart that it's time for us to get our sign back out by the street that we are open for business. Maybe better yet, you hire you one of those sign spinners that were popular there for a while. Stand out by the corner of your house and spin it and say, this family is open for business. This family is going to be a beacon to this neighborhood again. This life is going to be a billboard to point people to Jesus. Once again, we are having a grand reopening. Now, my prayer is the pastor of this church that I and we implement these principles in our church, that we are doing things on a regular basis right now today to try to show people that we are serious about what our assignment is. But I'm also praying for you as an individual that you and I are serious about what our assignment is. You as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, that you're serious about what your assignment is. And maybe you've allowed the junk and the debris, the trash and the dust to so clutter your life that you haven't been a shining star for Jesus Christ. But today, like Hezekiah, you've got the opportunity to swing those doors open. Let the light of God's Word shine in. Dust off what needs dusted. Clean out the bad attitudes, the rotten ideas and the prejudices and all these other things. Throw them out. And start operating like God wants you to operate. Let your marriage be a billboard to Jesus. Let your family be distinctly different than the other families. And I hope that you, like me, will say, well, we're open for business. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to make it clear to us that we need to be open for the business of what you've got us here for. Lord, I believe there's so many marriages that I get to encounter out in the world and maybe even here, I don't know, but that are just a shell of what they ought to be. So many Christian lives are just a fraction of what they should be. They've got so much of the world in them and so much of the bad philosophy in them. Lord, they're not trying to raise their children to stand up and rise up to be warriors for you. Instead, they're just in survival mode, trying to make sure nobody gets hurt. Lord, I pray that we could open our lives up for business one more time. I pray that our church could have a grand reopening every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday. We just be this church functioning and open for business to reach people. Lord, help us all, I ask. My friend, if you're here and you're unsaved, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, you're not sure that if something were to happen to you, you'd be on your way to heaven. I didn't preach about this, but let me give you this briefly. God sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. His purpose was so that you and I could enjoy heaven forever and eternally glorify Him and worship Him. But if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, then you are still under the condemnation of your sins. But that's not the way God wants you to stay. He wants to forgive you and receive you as His own son, own child. If you're here today and you're not saved, in just a moment we stand, I'm going to invite you to come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved and on your way to heaven. And Christian brother and sister, those of you who are saved, are you fulfilling God's will for your life? Are you the beacon? The Bible says that men ought to see our good works and glorify our Father which are in heaven. Are we that shining light that we ought to be? Or are we so dingy and dirty and filled with debris It's amazing if they even know there's a difference between us and the world. My friend, if that's you today, oh, God's brought you to a great place. Let's just commit to Him. The Lord, we're going to start clearing out the junk, and we want to be open for business. Father, bless us now is our prayer, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with me as they played this morning? If God's dealt with your heart, I invite you to come. If the Lord has spoken to you, would you make some holy vows to Him? I was thinking specifically as we were preaching through that and as I was preparing, that as Hezekiah led those men to clean out the debris, clean out the junk, I thought about my life. Do I have so many prejudices and bad attitudes and wrong thought processes that my life resembles that minefield more than a playground, more than a pleasant place that it ought to be? Was a convicting thought. If you're here this morning, would you come? You're welcome to come pray. If there's some need that you have, and again, I ask one more time, if you're here, you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out today and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home? Brother Daniel, standing in front of the pulpit I preach from, would love to just take the Word of God. If you're a lady, he would have a lady take their time with you and just share with you from the Word of God how you can be 100% sure that Jesus is your Savior. That's what He wants. As He just played through a little bit more. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Thank you for being in church this morning. And I trust that you take that message from my heart, from the Word of God, but this from my heart as well. God wants each of us, to be running full steam ahead. You say, preacher, full steam ahead is not very far, not very fast. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about God wants us to operate in the positions that He's given us and left us to operate in. He wants us to operate in full fashion for Him. I want to affect people for Christ this year more than I have last. Don't you join me in that? We want to say, I want to live my life so that people know there's a difference. I want to share the gospel with people. I want to do this. And I trust that the Lord would help us to be, as I mentioned, open for business. I don't want to be a closed-off Christian, and I trust that you don't as well. Thank you for being in church. God bless you. We'll look forward to a great package of music from Pensacola Christian College tonight. I'll be preaching, but we'll have a group from Pensacola, and trust to be a blessing to you. Thank you so much. God bless you. You're dismissed. Mm-hmm.